Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Newtown Theatre. Please welcome a man who's just had a Pret-a-Manger lobster roll. Ooh la la, someone's fringe is going well, or very badly. It's Richard Herring! Hooray! Hooray for us! Thank you very much. Well, lovely to see you all. Loads of people in today. 2 for 1. Come tomorrow. Oh, no, you're busy tomorrow for some reason. Welcome to Richard Herring's Lurgy Still Tenacious podcast. It's good. Still a little bit ill from the bug I picked up from my child. But I was hanging around with 30 to 50 feral hogs today. They call it rehellastopus. I don't know if that's gonna catch on. That's topical. Take that, Matt Ford. That's ultra topical. That is. That's so topical. Half the people in the room don't even know what it was referring to. That's. Haven't been on Twitter today. I'm not exactly sure myself. It'll date. Good to see Colin's in the front row. Where the ghost of Colin has turned up. Colin used to come every single day and sit his unsmiling presence in the front of all of my shows. It's good to see him back. Liam's here as well, that's good to see. So, what's been going on? I've been to see some shows. I went to see the Monsky Mouse Cabaret. It's mainly kids' shows I'm going to be recommending. If you're between 2 and 5, you're going to love the recommendations. Yeah, very, very good. I saw Drunk Women Solving Crime. That's quite good. One of them's all right, isn't it? It's all right. I saw a brilliant piece out by the meadows. Just the playground in the meadows. There was a 3-year-old girl leaving the playground going, "Where's Daddy? Where's Daddy?" Just sort of walking towards the road. It's amazing how this kind of immersive theatre, you're not allowed to join in. It's frowned upon to spoil the performance. Then a man came up. I thought, "Oh, this is tense. What's it going?" What has? He said, "Should I be like, where's my daddy?" He said, "Oh, which way was it going to go?" Luckily, he was a dad as well. He showed her back into the playground, but it could have gone either way. It was a Cuda theatre. I assume she's okay. I didn't get involved. A man in the news went into the hospital for a bladder operation and had his foreskin removed. Did you see this? See this news story? He's got £20,000 in compensation. It's kind of good to know how much it's worth, isn't it? That's just a little bit at the end as well. So that is a valuable property. With Brexit coming up, guys, this could be it's good to know you've got a valuable commodity. I mean, he's 70 as well, so I mean, that, I don't know if they take that the age of the penis into account when they're... It's a shame to lose your foreskin, but it's not the end of the world, is it? So, I'm not going to do a joke about giving a tip. No, mate, I'm above that. I'm sure I had lots of other stuff to talk about. I felt like I had loads, but nothing written down. So we're going to crack straight on. He's going to see as this goes daily. I think the thing, my mother-in-law has been down up with us for the first week of the fringe. She's gone home now, so you're going to find out just how much I get done between looking after the kids and doing this show, which is what my life is going to be from now on. We'll find out whether doing a podcast and looking after children is harder than doing a podcast and a stand-up show. I think we will find that it is going to be. So will you... my first guest today is probably best known for being the second unit director on Balsawood. That's why her show is selling out currently at the Edinburgh Fringe. Will you please welcome Sophie Duca, ladies and gentlemen? Sophie Duca. Sophie Duca. Come in, sit down. Wow, you've come in with your Mac on.
I wanted to do it in solidarity because you're still wearing your little... Zip up.
Well, it's nearly a hoodie. It's a sort of jacket. Yeah, I'm wearing a jacket, as you know, because I was at the Commonwealth Pool at the soft play. It's very good. I recommend that as well. With my kids, you have to go to all these things with kids, or you're in trouble. And I kind of underestimated how far away that was from here, and walked. And it's quite humid today.
You're very moist.
Underneath here. It's not a pleasant thing to look at. Oh, that's all I will say. So I've kept my top on. How are you?
I'm well.
Good.
Amazingly for the Fringe. I'm surprised. I've been doing little shots of Barocca, Echinacea, vitamins, staying away from people.
Yeah, that's a good... Well, stay away from me and my children. We are disease-ridden and it's disgusting. So, do you remember much about being the second unit director of Balsawood, which is claims on your IMDb page?
Yes, I was the second unit director of Balsawood, which is a film, not just a product. And that was fun. It was a film that my friend was making, and she asked me to be in it as a second AD, and she also asked me to drive, because they didn't have a lot of people. To drive, but I had just learned to drive, and it was not a good idea to get me to drive. But she was not aware of this.
Did you wipe out any of the cast? That's the dangerous thing, isn't it?
I didn't actually kill any of the cast, which was a big plus for me. But we were driving through like a very UKIP country.
Right.
I can't remember exactly where we were, but I remember there were a lot of flags, and so I was trying to drive, but simultaneously get as low in the sleet as possible.
So your show's going very well, and this is your first show.
It's my first show!
And you're already the hit of the Fringe.
Well, I mean...
Well, you must be, you're on my podcast, there must be. If I've heard of you, then something must be going on, that's what I'm saying. I'm very much... your show's called Venus?
It is, Venus.
Is it about the planet Venus?
It is not. Okay. It is not about the planet Venus, it is not about shaving or tennis. It's about... Which a lot of people do think it is. Yeah. I'm very... I had a preview, and I was like, oh, Venus, you guys are probably wondering what it's about. And this woman was like, is it about classical mythology? I was like, I'm so sorry. It's about... it is kind of about mythology. It's about the mythology of black women, in a way. Okay. Which sounds very, very heavy, but is quite fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, if we can get tickets, you're selling out extra shows?
I'm so sorry, not yet.
No.
But no, that's, not that I'm aware of.
That will come. So, there's quite a lot to talk to you about this, your family from Ghana?
Yes, so my dad's from Ghana, my mum's from Cameroon. I have lived in Ghana for 2 years when I was like 4 to 6, and my parents said I was going on holiday and then left me in Ghana for 2 years. They abducted me. I've got like a stronger connection with Ghana than Cameroon, but it's generally West Africa.
And I was interested, you were brought up in quite a religious family in various ways. Was it you were brought up as a Catholic?
Yes, I was brought up as Catholic. I had my first Holy Communion, but not confirmed. So, like, very much attending on Facebook for Jesus. My family are very, like, I've got, like, lots of different Christian sets of, like, Seventh-day Adventists and, like, new, like, basically, one of my aunties is essentially in a cult, but, yeah, a very religious Christian family.
And so when did you lose, well, you presumably had your faith as a child, and how old were you when you lost your religious faith?
I don't think I just misplaced it.
Yeah.
I don't really care if there is a God. I'm just a sort of indifferent agnostic. I think, I don't know, when I was little, I was like, yeah, this makes sense. Believe in God, I'm really cool with it. But then I think there was just a point where I was like, it's not really checking out. You don't get the responses quickly when you do the prayers.
It's true.
So, yeah.
I reckon God, if there is a God, the response he would hate the most is not caring if there's a God. That would, that's going to hurt him. I mean, hating God, not believing in God, but just not caring about...
I prefer his
You're going to get the worst punishment. If he's there, you're getting the worst punishment available. I tell you, if I was God, I'd have a special place for people who didn't care about me.
The Edinburgh
Fringe. Yeah, probably. This could well be it. I often wonder whether my life is already some kind of hell I've been consigned to. It's wonderful. I'm having a wonderful time. And you went to Oxford University.
I did. I'm so sorry. I went to Oxford University. As did you?
I did. I'm not sorry about it. I'm delighted.
Okay.
I worked very hard. I got two A's and a B. I deserve to go.
Lovely. Yeah. I got three A's, but well done you.
Yeah, I got three. Actually, I got three A's as well.
You got three A's?
I got a B in a year and I got three A's. It's so long ago. I got... What O-levels did you get? Oh, none. Bad luck. 8 A's, 2 B's and a C at O-level. Remember that properly. What did you get for your GCSEs?
Is this important, what I got
in
my GCSEs?
It is important. Okay, this is basically the conversation you had in the first term at university, isn't it? Over and over again.
So I got all A's and A stars. Because I'm a swat.
All right, you're cleverer than me. Also, you wrote an article for Charwell magazine, a paid newspaper in Charwell that you wrote for.
Saying
you were one of only 24 students in 2008 who identified as black African.
Yes.
So it's pretty impressive to get to Oxford University as a black person, I have to say.
Thank you. It was so Oxford was weird. When I was there, I made a documentary because that's what you do when you're an undergraduate, and it was called "The Kids Are All White." I think I mainly just thought about the title. I think it was weird because at the time, like, there was a lot of expectation. People were like, oh, you're at Oxford and you're studying English. And all my relatives were like, why are you studying English when you already speak English? And I didn't know. I also studied modern languages, by which I mean French, because it was called modern languages, but it was just one modern language, and the language was French. So I speak French. And there weren't a lot of black kids speaking French.
No.
In Oxford. Yeah.
Good. Did you find it? Because I was just a comprehensive school kid, and I found it quite intimidating and prejudicial towards me. And I was just from Somerset, so.
But you do get very tan. I think it was weird because I did actually have. I do apologise now, but I did have an amazing time there because of the amount of stuff you can get when you're there. Like, there's so many people that are really like into what they're doing, like really super intelligent. But there was, I got involved. I ran in with a bad crowd when I was in Oxford. I sort of got into improv quite early, and that was so much fun. But it was quite interesting. Like, when you're improvising, you can be whoever you want to be, and you can be all these sorts of different characters. And I noticed that there was some kind of like ethnicities and accents which are very funny and okay to do, like German or French, but you couldn't really be like certain like Indian or like West African. So I was like, but it was also not as funny when I did it. So I think there was a sort of like certain unease where people were like, oh God, yeah.
That's interesting. But was everyone trying to be your friend there as well? Was everyone like, was that element of students trying to have the one black person?
Having
in
the
their
one
college
black friend so that they could use in their anecdotes. I was getting applications all the time. I think I'm a lot of people's token black friend, and they think I'm very cool, which I promise I'm not. I think there was a certain sort of cachet. I think people expect you to come from... I noticed that if you're... people there who weren't from, like, a private school or an independent school, or who were black, people expected that they had, like, a sort of, like, narrative of, like, you know, adversity. And I think a lot of the people... Some people, like, were amazing and, like, struggled to get there, but I think a lot of people had really good opportunities, even if they managed to happen to come from, like, a marginalised... group. So I was like, I pretended like my appendix scar was a stab wound for a bit. but I've really been very lucky.
Yeah. Well, I saw it. You did a great little piece for the BBC about privilege and people checking their privilege.
Yes. Check your privilege. It's a fun phrase to say.
Yeah. But I've always found that what you say is basically that. But often privilege is used as a stick to beat people with, you know, in the other direction, isn't it? It's sort of mm-hmm. like, but pretty much anyone who's got access to a laptop computer, who's watching the internet, for example, who's on Twitter commenting on something, is already in a fairly privileged position.
Yeah, I think pretty much everyone listening to this podcast is back in some kind of privilege. Yeah, I think it's, people like kind of sometimes have their thing that they've got a chip, like say they're like they're working class or they're black or they're queer and they're like, I'm beyond reproach. I'm just like, no one can criticize me, I've had a hard life. And like obviously people have had hard lives, but it's like rare that someone like in every single instance has had barriers towards everything. Yeah. And those people are usually the ones that are pretty humble going out there doing the work. So I think everyone just needs to be kind. To each other and kind of get over themselves a little bit instead of competing over who's the most woke. It's me.
Well, you do talk about ticking a lot of boxes.
Yes.
You're bisexual.
Yes, thank you.
One parent for your raising a one-parent family.
One-parent family. Yeah. My triple threat is that I've been told that this isn't actually a minority. I'm a woman.
Right.
Thank you.
There are more of you than us.
I'm a woman, even though there are slightly more women than men. It's like a 51%.
Yeah, I think it might be a bit Brexity, isn't it?
I think it's
a Brexit breakdown.
I'm a bisexual, pansexual, which I don't say as much because nobody knows what it means.
No. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
All this stuff's coming too late for me, that's the problem. I would love to be a pansexual.
It's fun. It sounds cooking. And I'm black. Sorry, I always forget that one. And then, oh yes, I remembered. I'm black. So people, it's very excited. People think it's trendy to be this, this hideous triple threat. A lot of it is hard, but a lot of it is quite fun.
Yeah,
you get to make white people very uncomfortable. I can tell there are white people in the audience because of the glow, and you would love my show. You'll be made very, very uncomfortable.
There's also something I saw you talking about. You turn things around on white people in the audience, talking about making them the representative of the individuals and representative of the culture.
Yes, so I have like a... there are lots of... I mean, there's always at least one white man that comes to my show, and I, at the start, get a white man ambassador to speak on behalf of the whole... audience, which is fun.
Yeah.
What's most fun is that I always ask their name and it's always John. So there's like been, I think obviously it's ridiculous to like label one demographic anything, but there's a, I ask white men at one part in the show, spoilers, about what the most sexual social media is. I don't know if you're sexual on social media at all.
Sexual?
Sexual.
On social media? Like, I'm not sexual anywhere anymore. I'm 52 years old. Got two kids under four.
Okay. I mean, you'd be surprised at the amount of men in your position who are sexual on social media. But if you're not sliding in anyone's DMs, you might not know which are the good places to go. There's places like Instagram, where people get flirty, sexy messages, or Tinder. But in my previews, I asked like a whole string of white men what the most sexual social media was, and all of them said LinkedIn. Just problematic.
Yeah, no one's interested in me anymore. You know, I've been faithful to my wife all the time we've been together. But, you know, is there any virtue in fidelity if no one's trying to fuck you? I don't think there is.
You know. Lack of opportunities.
It's fine now. I can be all... Yeah, if anyone had asked, I'd have been right out there. But haven't had a single... Even from Colin. Look at Colin. He's not enjoying it. This is Colin here in the front. Don't worry, that's just how his face goes.
Okay.
He comes a lot, so either he just likes having a terrible time or he's enjoying himself. I don't want him to be put off. And he isn't a ghost, he is real.
He's so pale, I did not know.
I think he is a ghost. Talking of ghosts, have you ever seen a ghost? Is one of my emergency questions.
Oh, I have never seen a ghost.
I mean, that's sort of the answer, isn't it? But I like the way it's left.
The thing is that I am quite excited by the idea of ghosts and magic and like poltergeists and stuff, but I couldn't verify that I've seen a ghost.
Okay, have you felt a presence that you couldn't understand, explain?
Yes, but then it turned out to be wind. I just said I didn't believe in God and everyone thought I was cool and now I'm going to be like, but I do believe in magic. I kind of feel there's like, oh no. I went camping recently to get away from it all because I'm very stressed. And I went camping and I was in the woods and I felt like there was a sort of like old Mother Willow figure. Are you familiar with the old Mother Willow from Pocahontas?
Well, not really.
She's a tree that talks. She's a discarded ent. And thank you. No one's calling me. Lord of the Rings. Anyway, so I just felt like the trees around us were sort of like protecting us, and I had to like sort of acknowledge the trees. So I did like a weird ritual that I made up in my head of walking around the tent and sort of like... Why am I telling people this? Oh, God. Okay, it's sort of like...
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Is that a ghost? It's not a ghost, is it?
But
I felt like the trees were like protective trees. I might have been going a bit...
Having heard that story, I'm surprised you haven't seen a ghost. Is what I'm saying. Because the kind of people who've seen ghosts, that's the sort of other stuff they get up to. I was once so lonely when I came to London and depressed when I was in London. I walked across Clapham Common and I hugged a tree just to feel another living thing against me.
Okay, hugging trees is amazing.
Yeah, but
really...
it wasn't in that situation. It was tragic. I didn't go any further than that. I respected the tree was unable to consent, and even in 1990, I knew that was a thing.
I like hugging trees, especially when you're on a run, because they're very grounded and you can sort of feel connected to the earth. I have a question for you.
Good, okay.
Do you know what ghosting is?
Ghosting?
Yeah.
Well, that's when you...
Because you're not very sexual on...
I mean, I used to be incredibly sexual, that's when you've had sex with someone and then you don't return any of their calls or don't ring them, yeah?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that is what it would be translated into olden Spanish. Yeah. Okay. it's basically when you make like a cameo in someone's life and then you sort of fade into the background. Yeah.
So do you believe in that? Do you believe in doing that? Is that a good way to
Yes, I have ghosted people. Yeah. I'm hoping to ghost people this Edinburgh Fringe, but it's very...
It's sort of weird, because it's horrible when it happens to you, but you don't notice when you're doing it to other people.
It's sometimes the easiest way. You're in a conversation with someone, and you just get so distracted that you just sort of float off.
Do you think is this about to happen to me? So am I about to just look away at Colin and come back? Oh, she's gone. I've got another guest, so I'll be fine. I'll ask you another emergency question, unless she's gone as well. That would be terrible. Who do you consider... I won't ask you that, because I'm not sure that you're old enough to remember that.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I'll ask you this. This is a nice question to ask. If you had to be in a human centipede with two other people... and you were in the middle, you get to choose which people go in front of you and behind... I don't need to explain the concept of human centipede.
No, I'm very familiar. I go to all the good parties. I think... At the back end, I don't really care because it's not a nice position. Any revealer. The front end, I think it would be... Do I have to pick a specific person?
Yeah, well, you can answer it how you wish. I mean, I'd like to have a specific person, but if you've got... I don't know, if it's a race of people, I will be very unsettled. I hope it's someone Chinese.
The thing is that I want them to be vegan.
Okay.
But I can't think of any good vegans. Sarah Pascoe. that's quite weird for me to say that. I think she'd try and get us through it.
Yeah.
I think she'd
be a good person to have up front. I think, just in terms of trying to raise morale.
Yeah.
She shafted your mouth and waited for you to shit.
I think she'd try and be really chipper and make the best of. She'd be really like, kind of like, Sophie, I know this isn't ideal.
As someone who's polyamorphous, is that the right word? Is the idea of, you know, teaming up with different human centipedes, you know, you could be in one human centipede and then you could all have sex with another human
with
centipede.
Another human, while attached by the face to an ass.
Yeah, well, we're in the middle.
I think group sex sounds like a lot of admin.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're all a kind of sort of like a weird, like horrible sexual conga line that is a human centipede, I can't imagine that a sexual encounter would be that fun. But I think sex with more than two other people.
Yeah.
Look at me being
more
cool.
than two?
More than two. Oh, wow.
Hey, Colin. Glad you came to this, weren't you, Colin? Hot in here? Or was that the walk from the Commonwealth pool?
Or maybe I think the thing is, if you have a foursome,
yes,
you're probably just going to split off into two teams.
Can we do that, aren't you?
What is that? What is that?
It's been a long time since I've had sex. I can't remember.
For you, it's very manageable. You just all link hands. I just imagine you split off into teams, and then a threesome, I guess, is sort of like an exciting, like sort of like diamond dancing. Well, like one person's in front, and you all sort of follow the moves.
Yeah.
But any more than that, I think would be horrible. It'd be like, yeah, it'd be horrible.
Well, most of us never get to find out, do we, Colin? ever had a foursome, Colin?
Stop inviting Colin for a foursome.
Do you want to get involved in the foursome? It's only the fourth day of Edinburgh for me, and I can't believe I've already got to this stage. I'm just trying to scare him off. I like the name of. I didn't know much about this night, but you have a night, a comedy night called Wacky Racists.
Yes, Wacky Racists is the name of my comedy night. I should say as a disclaimer, it's not actually a night for actual wacky, zany bigots. It's not a night for that. It's a night. It's sort of like platforms comedians of colour, but generally is like trying to improve representation. And we have a one-man white man house band.
Okay.
They play problematic tunes. They're called the Tone Deafs. And we play games like Pin the Tail on the Honky. Which, if you ever want to come and play, you'd be more than welcome.
Okay, thank you. And is that with London Hughes, who's a previous...
Oh, London Hughes is a previous guest on the show. She has said some things that are unrepeatable.
Yes. She's been on my show and said something.
Yeah, it was...
She's very good.
She's very good.
She's having a good Edinburgh as well.
She's having a great Edinburgh. Yeah. Her show's called To Catch a Dick. Yeah. And that was basically what she discussed. she was like, I've lost my voice, I'll just talk about who I've slept with in comedy. Right? She's hilarious.
Yeah, she is hilarious. Do highly recommend it. Okay, I'm going to ask you a couple more emergency questions, and then we're going to see how we go, and then it'll be time for some more, someone else.
Time for me to ghost you.
Yeah, time for me. Well, you know, I can do some ghosting back. Oh, this is an important question I haven't asked for a while. Have you ever flown a kite?
The bird or the toy?
Like a kite.
I wanted for ages to fly a kite because of Mary Poppins, the bit at the end of the film. It wasn't fun. There wasn't enough wind. I think I tried to do it on Hampstead Heath.
Okay.
And it was very... It was a sort of running, trailing fabric. It was a...
It's difficult to get...
Anticlimax.
It's difficult to get it up.
I mean, you're 52 years old. Yeah, you've got two kids.
It's not there. It's not worth it. I've had nothing but bad experience.
I guess drones are the kites of today.
Yeah, I suppose they are the kites of the future. I wonder what they'll have next for the people who like flying things in the air for a bit.
Dreams.
No one thought of putting a camera on a kite, did they?
No.
Why did no one think of that? Probably because it was difficult to get the kites up there. Okay, I'll ask you this question. Would you rather have a tit that dispenses talcum powder?
A
mammary gland or nipple, or a finger that can travel through time. So you can get unlimited talcum powder out of your breast, just any time you fancy it.
Yeah.
And it just there's a
just unlimited talcum.
Unlimited,
powder.
Like you could sell it. Could set up a factory, whatever you want to do with it.
Or
you'd have to spend a minute just every time. So it'd take a long time to fill a bottle, but you'd be able to do it. Or a finger that can travel through time, which is just your finger can go anywhere in time, past or future or present.
Oh, but the rest of it can't.
Yeah, just your finger. But you can still control it. I said present. I mean, we've all got a finger that can go to the present. That's not as exciting. So the one place it can't go is the present.
Okay.
Because otherwise it's just that. But like, so you go through, there's the vortex.
Yeah.
And then it goes through, and then it could do something on the other side.
Just knuckle deep.
Yeah, you can peek through.
I mean, the mime is not necessary.
You can peek through.
Yeah. Oh, I can make a little bit hole through my finger.
Yeah, so you can have a peek and see what you're doing. Otherwise, you know, you could be just poking anything. If that's the choice, and if you choose the finger, I'd like to know what you would do.
Absolutely fingering Boudicca, yes.
Yeah. Finger Boudicca.
I just get involved in lots of historical orgies, but as like a very small...
very small part.
My finger smells like the Renaissance.
That would not be a nice. That wouldn't be a nice.
That would not be a nice smell. No, they didn't.
It was not good hygiene back then. No offence to any Renaissance people listening in via any finger holes that are appearing. Unless I'm going to go. I'm just going to go in deep.
Oh God.
And then we're going to have one more. I'm going to ask a question that came out of my podcast with Richard Osman. Just check it's not. Okay. No, I'm good. That's not that interesting. Richard Osman came up with a good emergency question. What is the most important thing that you've unplugged to charge your phone?
Most important. Charging the phone. I think. Trying to think if there's anything radical. Electric toothbrush, sure.
Yeah.
Other people's phones all the time. I think it's always there's always just a moment of fear when you're in a theatre, and there's like in my theatre, which is quite small, this is quite a big theatre, but there are a lot of plugs that you have no idea what they do.
Yeah.
And you know that people are doing shows that have been working on for months and months and months, have brought them up to the end of the fringe, and it's really important that the lights don't cut out during that show. But you've got like 90% of battery.
Yeah.
So you just...
I mean, you take a chance sometimes. Like if you're in a rented house, as you probably are a flat now, then there's often some plugs you think, I don't know what that does.
I don't know what it does.
But I want to charge my phone.
Yeah.
And I'm here.
I so never know if the ones on public transport that say, not for public use, work.
You can, but then the ones on public transport that say, only to be used for mobile phones or computers, I reckon you could put other stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. You can stick anything there.
If you want to bring something.
Like a dare. What could you plug in?
Bring a printer with you. Fridge.
Oh,
could do.
Set up a little pop-up first class. I'm going to set up a food stall on the next train I'm on.
Okay.
I like to cook, so I think that'll be a good George Foreman grill.
Yeah, that would be nice. So, what have you seen? Any shows you'd like to recommend?
Oh yes, I have. Oh, what have I seen? Okay, so this is a show I saw in previews, but it's amazing. It's called Butch Princessa. And it's by a sort of amazing Venezuelan clown girl.
Okay.
Sorry, that's a weird description of her. Venezuelan clown girl called Andrea Spisto, and it's amazing.
Okay.
It's a fun, jumpy show. I saw Kat Cohen. Love that. It's called The Twist Is She's Gorgeous.
Okay.
Which is a good title. I really like that. Other than that, what have I seen? I'm a big fan. Can I plug something that isn't a show?
Yeah.
I'm a really big fan of Ting Tai Caravan.
Okay.
Oh my God, it's so good. I've been mentioning it all the time in case they have some sort of black card, like Nando's, not a race thing, that I can go. And I just, it's like happiness in a box. It's the best thing that I do every year.
Good, that's a good recommendation. I'm definitely going to go for that one. And tell us when your show is, and I presume you're going to tour this show.
I presume?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to tour it.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be other places.
Where is it in Edinburgh?
It is at the Pleasance Courtyard in Below. And it's at 7 p.m. every day, and it's called Venus, which rhymes with penis.
That's how I remember it.
Yeah.
And Duca rhymes with puka, that's how
yes, I remember it. Yes, yeah, no, Duca like puka, not Ducker like fucker. Yeah. Yes, that's a rhyme. Or like Duca York for a PG-13.
Okay, that's good.
Great shit.
I'll do that one with my daughter. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, massive round of applause, Sophie Duca.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And before we crack on, I should say, I hope you've got a programme at the beginning. That's a free gift from me to you. As usual, what I do with my programmes after the show, I'll make a collection for Scope, which is a fantastic charity that deals with trying to get equal rights and access for disabled people, amongst other things. It's a fantastic charity. If you would like to donate some money after the show, I will be sitting at a table in the entrance to this theatre. I'll be selling emergency questions books and some wonderful Rahulastava stickers. You can also get the old emergency questions book if you prefer, or both, and the stickers. I'm very happy to sign stuff and say hello and do photos if you want to do that. But there will be buckets there if you would like to make a donation to Scope as well. Oh, look, I've also got a credit card machine so I can take cards. I believe Graham Norton at the end of his chat shows, he sells his books from a table in the doorway. And then has his own. He's got one of these. So. I believe that is the case. That's just a normal thing to happen. So,
planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
My next guest is probably best known for her appearance on Britain's Favourite Crisps. I'm not sure it's been on yet. It's in 2019. Will you please welcome the amazing Vicky Stone? Vicky Stone. Look at this. What an outfit. Welcome, welcome. Sit down.
Oh. Hi.
How are you doing?
Oh, good. I've actually been brought onto stage with somebody saying it's from Vicky Stone from Britain's Favourite Crisps, without irony. like that's one of my actual...
I'm talking you down because you were also in Britain's Favourite Chocolate Bar as well, weren't you?
No, it's actually Britain's Favourite Sweets.
Oh, sweets.
I was also on Britain's Favourite Cleaning Products, but that has yet to be broadcast. We can all look forward to that.
Yeah, can you give us any hints as to which might be the favourite cleaning product?
Yeah, I think it's bleach.
What was Britain's favourite crisp?
Britain's favourite crisp? Oh, I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember. I do remember Britain's favourite cereal. That's not come out yet either. And that was the crunchy nut cornflakes.
Well, yeah, well, that's got to be.
That's obvious,
corn,
isn't it?
Don't need a TV show to work that out, but crisps. Good. So you have done some other stuff as well, which we'll get on to. This is the first time you've been up in Edinburgh for 5 years. Is that right?
Yeah, full run. Well, I did. Yeah. I did a big show, a big one-off show in 2017 with an orchestra for one day, which was marvellous. I'd thoroughly recommend that as a performer coming in, doing one show and then leaving. But no, this is my first full run in 5 years.
Wow, what's brought you back?
I don't know. I fancied it, yeah. And that's gone now. That feeling.
What's the new show called and about?
It's called Songbird. It's just a title that I came up with in February. It bears no resemblance to the show at all. So for that reason, I decided to walk on to the birdie song. So then the title's justified, isn't it?
That is.
It's done.
By the tweets, by the way, that is the...
Yeah.
That comes up a lot on trivia quizzes.
Yeah.
So just for that, it's by the tweets, the birdie song.
Yeah.
Just remember that. It comes up on pointless.
Number two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was number one?
I don't know.
Yeah. You never remember the number ones,
no.
Do you? That's what they say. You went to Wells Cathedral School, which is near to where I grew up in Cheddar.
Ah, Yeah. I did, yeah.
My sister works at Wells Cathedral School. Do you know Mr. Jill Edmonds? You know Jill Edmonds?
I don't, I'm sorry, no. Wells Cathedral School is a I went there because it was a specialist music school in parts. So I went there to play the flute as a child.
I mean, you can play a lot of instruments. I wasn't aware that the flute was, you know, you were an expert on the flute.
Yeah, I wasted my childhood playing the flute.
Can you still pick up a flute and get a
tune
out of
it? Yeah, I've played... what I tend to do now is I play the flute for a laugh in pantomime. So I tend to put it in the middle of a song. Like I'm normally play a baddie in panto. So, yeah, I just decide to put a ridiculous flute solo in the middle of a panto.
It's not something nice to have up your sleeve, isn't it?
I think it's a surprising skill. Yeah. People always think I'm miming as well. Why would I do that? Why would I insist on miming the flute in a pantomime?
It would be good. That would be a good thing to do. And you're also very good at rounders.
Yes, actually. Has that come from Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a mate of mine. Me and a few friends constantly update people's Wikipedia. So I'm really good friends with Helen George, who is called the Midwife cast. And I put on her Wikipedia that she used to be a lower leg model and was featured... she used to model flight socks in Innovations magazine, which is all well and good until Philip Schofield asked her about it on This Morning. And so is it saying that I'm some sort of rounders thing on my...
Yeah, like something like... It said you were a brown star.
Right, yeah,
okay. Rounders.
Yeah, that's not
so
real.
So I was suspicious about the brown star. I didn't fall into the trap.
So that's me and my mates. We also managed to bring up again when Helen was on... She was being interviewed by Chris Evans on BBC Radio 2. And we'd put on a Wikipedia that she was a semi-professional long jumper. And he'd asked her about that. So we're a little group of people that ruin each other's Wikipedia pages. There we go.
That's what I like to see. Have you done a TED Talk at CERN?
I have done a TED Talk at CERN.
That sounds like a kind of thing that could have been made up.
No, I did it. When I did my song about Brian Cox, all the science in it was correct enough to alert the people at CERN. And genuinely, about 2 days later, I got a phone call from someone at CERN saying they always have two arts talks. And it was me and Imogen Heap.
Wow.
And so we went and did a TED Talk at CERN. Yeah. And they built this stage on top of the Large Hadron Collider out in France. It was really cool. We went out there for a week and I found myself in a nightclub singing one of Imogen Heap's songs in her face.
Are you allowed to have a go inside the Large Hadron Collider when you're there?
They just let you into the control room and allow you to press anything. It's great.
Yeah. That's a shame. Well, here's some other unusual facts about you that I'm not sure how many of these are true. But I got these from Chortle. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily true.
No.
You were backing singer for Elton John?
Yes. That was my first job.
Was it?
Yeah, I went to the Royal Academy of Music and Elton John was doing an orchestral tour and he tends to use recent graduates for jobs like that.
Nice.
And yeah, there was a load of us that went on tour. So we did Wembley, NEC and the Albert Hall for our first job.
Did you get to hang out with Elton backstage?
A little bit. There was a situation at Wembley where he came around and sort of thanked everybody and I could see him coming and I sort of had my question ready and I wanted to ask a question that maybe made him remember me or something, and he had this little dog with a all access pass on him, and AAA dog, and so I decided I'd try and befriend him via questions of the dog. So I said to Elton John, I said, "Oh, does your dog travel well?" And he said, "Yes, thanks. He's only had a shit on the plane once," and he moves on to the next person.
Yeah.
And the next person is my friend Adam, and he asks. He asked Elton John if he could possibly have a go on his piano. Elton calls someone over and goes, "This guy's doing the sound check tomorrow." And I was like, I asked the wrong fucking question. I asked a question about dog shit, and my mate is playing the sound check at Wembley.
Oh. Yeah. All right, here's another one. You've done two theatrical private theatre performances for Andrew Lloyd Webber in his private theatre.
Yes. Andrew Lloyd Webber's house is called Sidmonton Court, and he had the village church moved into his garden and turned into a theatre.
Wow. How did the vicar feel about that? Annoyed a bit.
I mean, it's a nice little theatre, but it's a that's a strange thing to do, isn't
it? Physically moved?
Yeah, physically moved. So he's got a, what was a village church in his grounds as now a theatre, and he does tries out shows there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good thing having loads of money, isn't it? Must be nice.
Yeah.
Must be nice. You had a non-sex role in a gay porn film.
Yes, I did have a non-sex role in a gay porn film. Yes.
Are there any non-sex roles in a gay porn film?
Yeah. Okay. So this is a long time ago. I was about 19, and I wasn't shown any of the script. I was just told that I was playing the girlfriend of a guy, and that was it. And we were in this. It was a scene shot in a gay club, and my lines were: "You've been a long time in the toilet. Your pint's getting warm." Now, I didn't... The alarm bell should have rang because this film is called What Goes Around Comes Around, spelled C-U-M-S. I should have maybe realised. But that was it. And I was there on a non-sex day. And they said,
You weren't allowed to have sex in your spare time.
Well, that's what they call it. They call it a non... I was there on a non-sex day. And so what the bit I didn't see is that they shoot the shots of me walking into this nightclub with my boyfriend. He then goes to the toilet, and then pornography happens. And I'm looking around going, where is he holding his pint? And then he comes back and I say, you've been a long time in the toilets, your pint's getting warm. And then at the end, for the credits rolling, they sit you on a stool and you have to wink, like, as your name goes past. And they said to me, do you want to use a pseudonym? And I was like, no, I've not done anything I'm ashamed of. So unfortunately, I'm now on the porn version of Wikipedia. and I have a page, Vicky Stone Porn Star. So there we go.
Good, but it's nice to have something to fall back on, isn't it?
Yeah.
If the musical comedy doesn't work out. Good. And you've played Frieda in 4 ABBA tribute bands.
Yeah.
Wow, Steve Bennett's got 100%.
Yeah, I mean, this is an old CV, it's not been updated.
I didn't see any of this information anywhere else.
When I first graduated, to try and make money, I was in an ABBA tribute band, and the absolute worst one, something called, Aber Illusion or something, or I don't know. And it was me, and I was playing Frieda, and the Agneta was 60. I was 19. The Bjorn was, I don't know, about 18, and the Benny was the husband of, and he was 65. And we were referred to the top turn, and we played Lakeside Dart Centre.
Happy times.
Good days. Yeah, great.
So you've done, that's every level of showbiz you've been in.
That is all of showbiz.
From the flautist to the gay porn films. And I've had a lot of fun watching your videos last night and this morning, which I do recommend.
Not the porn one. No.
I didn't find that. Well, that wasn't fun, but it was illuminating. It's always... The problem with it, we can't really describe what goes on, but I would say I've really enjoyed Unsolicited Pictures is a fantastic song.
Thanks.
The Philip Schofield song, which you're very well known for, I think you performed that in a slightly less raucous manner on this morning, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I performed that. What I loved about that is I did that show in my very first... I did that song in my first Edinburgh show in 2011, and I got a particularly vitriolic review saying that my show's got too much swearing in it and women shouldn't talk like that, and at the end of the review it said, this kind of material will never get her onto the This Morning sofa. And 6 weeks later, This Morning rang me up and they booked me to perform the Philip Schofield song live on This Morning, and I just sent the reviewer an email, and the title of the email was, this kind of material will never get her onto the This Morning sofa, and the only thing in the body of the email was the link to the ITV website of me singing the song. Fuck me, that felt great. And actually, the review was from Chortle.
Oh, was
so
it?
That was go. Particularly...
Good. I mean, you've been compared to Victoria Wood, which I suppose all singing people who play a piano, women who are going to play a piano are going to get compared. But it's a nice compliment, I think, to get that comparison.
It is.
And the songs are good.
Well, obviously Victoria Wood is the sort of, I wouldn't be doing what I did if it wasn't for her sort of blazing the trail.
Yeah.
We met a few times. I did a play by hers called Talent, which right. was revived, and she came a few times to watch that, and we've sort of chatted about the play and stuff, and I was playing her role. I was sort of the first person to play her role other than her, right. sort of sat at the piano, the role that she wrote for herself. And then a few years later, I hadn't seen her in a while, and a few years later, I was doing a show at King's Place, and I'm on the piano, and I look out into the audience, and she was there. And I hadn't, you know, she hadn't, normally it's when someone famous comes, they request a ticket via a publicist or something, or your agent, and she just bought a ticket and was just in the audience, and suddenly I was like, I could have vomited on my feet. I just, you know, I was singing the Brian Cox song at the time, which is quite that sort of pattery, yeah, you know, yeah. It's probably as close as my material gets to something like Let's Do It, which is all the kind of fast-paced yeah. sort of jokes and key changes and all that kind of stuff, and yeah. I did an obituary in Radio 4 as well, yeah. which was a really nice thing to have been asked to do.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been better if you hadn't had to do that, though, wouldn't it?
Ideally, yeah. yes.
You're not saying you're delighted she...
No.
You're glad she died because she got to do that. Is that...
Have a spade? Because I'd really...
I don't want to put words into your mouth, Vicky, and make that the headline from this podcast, but... Edinburgh comic delighted that Victoria went to it. What about the drinks cabinet is also very well worth... There's about your mum's drinks cabinet.
Yep.
And it's a very nice bit of observational comedy, but really done brilliantly in song as well. It's really just so... I mean, you know, it's annoying when people use talent, I think, in comedy, because I don't think it's fair. If you've got talent, then go yeah. do something. Go yeah. do something else. Don't do comedy.
That's my plan. Yeah. I have got an exit strategy. It's all right.
But and you've got a lot of letters under your name, which I wondered if you'd ever thought about putting into a song. Because you've got PGDIPRAMLRAMARAM.
Yeah.
But that'd be Pug Dip Ram Laram Aram, which sounds like a song lyric.
It does. Oh, I like to put a ding dong on the
end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to the Royal Academy of Music and they yeah. gave me a load of honours. And I'm like, I'll take that. Because yeah. I only went there for a year and I've got 12 letters. Thanks very much. Don't even have a degree.
It's very impressive, and the Rounders as well.
The Rounders. I actually was Rounders captain at school, so I think that's why
yeah.
they keep taking the piss and adding that to my Wikipedia.
A little bit of truth, isn't there?
I keep deleting it. It's like Russell Cain's age on Wikipedia as well. Honestly, it keeps changing. It gets changed back every day. So someone's got that job. I feel very sorry for them.
Let me ask you some emergency questions. Russell is 25 years old, and you know. Parts of it, probably. I'm going to ask you some emergency questions from yeah. dates to see if I've still got it, because
okay.
Sophie's made me seem inadequate as a datey. Here it is. This is a good idea for a date. This is a good date question. I like your hair. It's a good thing to say on a date. Fellas, stick with me. I'll see you right. But what was the word? What was your most disastrous haircut?
I've had several. About 5 years ago, I got a perm. Like, I don't know what the fuck I was doing. I thought it might be ironic. It looked fucking ridiculous. And so that was recent.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's good. Sorry. So I suddenly saw the ashes moving around and thought, oh, fuck, I might be having such a nice time. We've been here for 15 minutes too long. But no.
No.
Time is dragging. I've got another question for you. Oh, this. Well, let's see what comes up with this one. If you could have a sexual superpower, what would it be?
A sexual superpower?
Yeah, something that's like a superpower in the sexual arena.
Well, it's kind of not... It may be sexual. I did once think that it might be a really good superpower that if you look someone in the eye, they immediately shit themselves.
It would be a sexual superpower.
Yeah. It's kind of sexual, but it's also a proper superpower,
yeah.
isn't it? Like, I look at you, bam, you shit yourself.
Yeah.
Because then, you're like, you've got to sort yourself out, you've got to go.
Yeah.
I win.
That is very good. There's a scene in Stranger Things that's a bit like that, except it's a Wii-based. Well, she makes the magic girl. Don't want to ruin Stranger Things for anyone. I've only seen four episodes, so don't tell me anymore. But the strange girl, and it goes...
But she's got more powers than
her nose wheezes, and then the guy wheezes himself. What more do you need? I mean, it's serious. If you could do that, you could rule the world, I think. Especially the shit yourself one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
Especially if it's not solids.
Now, usually I know how you're going to answer this question. Like, I don't know with you.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I used to live in an old house, an old flat in the Docklands. and there was definitely a ghost that, I don't remember what kind of format it was in, but would the song Do You Know the Way to San Jose would just randomly play out of nowhere.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was like number four, it was in a CD player, it was like number four on the CD.
Yeah.
So I decided that we had a ghost that really liked Do You Know the Way to San Jose?
Or a broken CD player.
Or a broken CD player.
We get one of the two.
Yeah. I think it's a ghost.
Yeah, it could be a ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
See, I was right, because that's sort of not a ghost. I would have said you hadn't seen a ghost. But there's basically mental people have seen ghosts, and sane people haven't seen ghosts. Not, that's why I'm not sure. I'm not sure which side of that divide you fall on. That's,
I think it was a ghost.
Okay, you meant it.
Look, I do enjoy the work of Derek Okora.
Good. So you should. What is the most slapstick thing that's ever happened to you in real life? I wrote this question when I just literally, my cat knocked over a box of drawing pins on the floor when we just moved. And I stood on one, yelped, moved my foot and stood on another one. Then I knelt down to remove the pins and landed on another one. Have you ever had a slapstick?
Well, this is kind of a slow burn slapstick thing. But a few weeks ago when it was 37 degrees, when it was absolutely fucking boiling, I was doing a preview and I was wearing a new pink bra and a white t-shirt. Fine, you can see the pink bra a bit through the sort of straps, it was the detailing in the outfit. But gradually throughout the gig, because the bra was new, the dye was coming off. And I didn't know this until I got off stage, but my tits were getting pinker and pinker throughout the show, and I was getting laughs in really weird places. And I was thinking, my show is good. I am nailing this. And I had absolutely no idea, and people were just randomly laughing and laughing together and looking at each other, and I had no idea.
That's got to be your thing, though. You've got to do that.
But it was just like a sort of global hypercolour, but there was just a bit sort of, yeah.
Sort of That'd be impressive. I mean, that's nice for people who don't like what you're doing on stage.
Oh, yeah, because it's something for everyone.
Very nice. You did a show where you played 20 instruments.
Yeah.
Instrumental.
Yeah.
Good title.
Yeah, thanks.
But which is like your maybe big the most successful show? Is that fair to say in terms of?
I don't know. I mean, I just decided to do a different type of show. I borrowed loads of instruments from people, and I told the stories of how their instruments and how they borrowed them, and I also used it to underscore the show with a loop pedal, so the scoring was constant. I just wanted it to make it a bit sort of halfway between stand-up and theatre.
Yes.
You know. And it was hard. It was hard work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in a fringe situation where you've got 15 minutes to change over, it was a nightmare. So this year I'm not doing that. I've just got a piano and a couple of tambourines.
Which of the instruments that you play are you worst at?
The accordion, I'm really bad at.
I mean, is it possible to be good at the accordion?
Yeah, because I think it sounds pretty shit even if you're great.
Yeah.
So, yeah. and I've got a really crap accordion as well. So all everything's against me in my accordion playing. Yeah.
And are you touring the Songbird show as well?
I am. Okay. I'm touring from the 13th of September to the 26th of October.
Fantastic. Well, and where can we see you in Edinburgh?
The Pleasance Courtyard, 7 p.m.
That's fantastic. And is there more TV coming up? Britain's Greatest.
I think cleaning products. And the Britain's Greatest Cleaning Products and the Britain's Greatest Cereal, they haven't announced when they're going to show them yet.
No.
Which could actually mean that they're never going to show them.
I mean, I'm going to watch Britain's Greatest Cleaning Products. I mean, I can't believe that. Four. Is there only four in the series and they've already got to cleaning products?
No, there was chocolate takeaways.
So you haven't been in all of them?
I haven't been in all of them, no.
You're not a go-to. They look at the person and make sure that they know
done.
About the subject.
You know the Channel 5, they're obviously Channel 5 programmes, all of these. I have now done 30 of those, like, 50 greatest list programmes. So I'm only 20 away from my own 50 greatest, 50 greatest.
Let's make that happen.
Yeah, I really want to. I've done some really fucking shit TV. Really.
But it can't do 50 greatest if you've only done 50. Because then, I mean, I suppose we could put them in an order, but it's no good to say
50 greatest. I need to do 51 so that one is omitted.
Yeah. I reckon it'd be cleaning products. That is my guess. we still have some time. I'm going to find another emergency question that will bring this baby home. You're not going to believe how good this one is.
Okay.
Oh, I keep on getting Richard Osman ones. I don't want that. Oh, this is the one. No, I'm did that one the other day. No. That one doesn't make sense out of context. What is the most selfish thing you've ever prayed for, and what do you think God made of your self-centered request? Have you ever prayed for anything? Are you a religious person?
I'm not a religious person.
Were you ever religious?
No.
Have you ever been like, you know, in a situation where you're about to die and go, please God, if you let me get through this, I will believe
what,
in you.
Were you on stage in a stand-up sense? Yeah. There's been many a gig with four stag doos in, and then after 36 people are thrown out, you're like, my prayers have been answered.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Wells Cathedral School, yes. so I end up. I mean, I like a hymn. Oh, I'll have a good sing, yeah. But I'm not a God person. But I will do the descants to all carols. That's where I am with religion.
The other day, when I had this the bug I've still got. I was taking lemon sips, mm-hmm. and I knew there was a lot in my bag, but they were all strewn around my bag, and I couldn't find one. And I said, God.
But you found God?
I said, God, if you can just make sure there's a lemon sip in here, if you let me find a lemon sip, I'll believe in you.
Yeah.
And I did find a lemon sip. I didn't believe in God, though. I tricked God. I tricked him.
I think I may have once asked God for help finding a parking space in Soho.
Okay.
Because that's notoriously hard. I did find one right outside the Soho Theatre. So that's.
I had a religious friend, and my friend was in the car with her, and she, the exact same thing happened. She was religious, and she prayed for a parking space, and one appeared. So
that's all the evidence we need.
That's the same. That is what you believe. And I, the same religious friend. I was living in Ballard at the time. I was a bit depressed, and I just passed the house. The sticker in the window said, "If you ask God, He will reward you," or something like that. And I said, "All right, go on then, God." And then about 5 minutes later, that religious friend rang me up and said, "Do you want to come to a carol concert with me?"
And did you sing the descant?
Yeah, I went to the carol concert, and it was one of those really weird Alpha Course churches where they wear suits and you feel like you're about to be abducted. It made me think, if this is religion, I want no part of it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for making me see that. It's been lovely having you on the show. Thank you so much for coming in. Do go see all the shows of all these fantastic guests we're having on. And do come and see this show when it's full price, please. On one occasion. Or at least give some money to Scope in the Bucket on the way out. Ladies and gentlemen, Vicky Stone. We're back tomorrow with Jane Addams. Somebody else fantastic as well that I can't think of at the top of my head. We've got John Robbins later in the week, got Richard Osman next week, Tommy Tin, and there's loads of people coming up. Go to richchain.com/rahulastapata/tour and you can find out about forthcoming guests. Please come again, please tell your friends if you've enjoyed this here in the theatre, or if you're at home, and do come and see the other guests as well. I'll be out in the doorway like Graham Norton. I'll see you in a sec. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Thanks for coming. You have been listening to Rahulastapa at the Edinburgh Fringe with me, Richard Herring. Thank you to Pest for providing the music. Thank you to everyone at the Newtown Theatre and the Stand, and everyone at GoFasterStrike.com. The producer is James Hingley. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStrike.com production. Go to rahulastapa.co.uk to find out more. RichardHerring.com/gigs to find out who my guests are for the rest of the run.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks for listening. richardherring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.